Rainmaker FM.
Copyblogger FM is brought to you by StudioPress Sites, the complete hosted solution that makes WordPress fast, secure, and easy without sacrificing power or flexibility. Feel free to upload your own WordPress theme or use one of the 20 beautiful StudioPress themes that are included and just one click away. Explore all the amazing things you can do with the StudioPress site, and you'll understand why it offers a lot more than traditional WordPress hosting. No matter how you'll be using your site, we have a plan to fit your needs and your budget. To learn more, visit rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. Hey there, it is so good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I'm the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital. You can usually catch me at least once a week on the Copyblogger blog, and I publish some more mindset and ranty stuff at Remarkable Communication. So you can always get the show notes for every episode, and that often includes links, it includes free extras, by pointing your browser to copyblogger.fm, and that's where you can find the complete show archive. So I am really quite pleased to be here today with Nick Usborne from conversationalcopywriting.com. And Nick, I'm not sure why it took us this long to get together and record a session, but welcome to Copyblogger FM.
Thank you. I've been thinking the same thing. We've been kind of doing similar stuff in the same space for many, many years, and we've just never really connected before now. So this is great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's really fun. Nick has been doing some really nice posts for us as well on Copyblogger, so I hope you will check those out, and I will give you links to those in the show archive. So let's talk about you know, your branding is the conversational copywriter, and I know you've been writing for a long time, but this is sort of a new brand or a new message. What's changed? Why now for this whole idea of conversational copywriter?
Well, I think basically because I've just been really slow to get here. This has always been me. Like in some ways, I've been a reluctant copywriter. Like I love the craft. I sort of started learning copywriting in the UK in the very late 70s and then the 80s. And I just loved the way copywriters worked, the way they wrote. So I fell in love with the craft, but I'm not a big kind of hard sell kind of guy. I've done it. I can do it, but I don't feel comfortable with it. And then when the web came along, I just loved it because I thought, wow, here's a space. Here's a space that's totally different. This isn't the broadcast medium. This is like a one-on-one, a one-on-two, or a one-on-many medium. Mm. And at the time, I should have actually articulated it and said, you know what, this is a conversational medium. I should have said that 20 years ago and branded myself, you know, talked about conversational copywriting from day one. But I didn't. I stood up very early on and said, hey, writing for the web is different. And that was the kind of drum I was beating. But I think what I was really trying to say was, writing for the web should be conversational. Hmm. And it's only recently that I've actually put the two words together and thought, oh, okay, this is what I've been trying to say all these years. But it's funny how a phrase can do that. It can kind of solidify things and put things together in your mind.
And then you look back and say, that was what I meant all along. It's funny that I never, I never used those words.
Yeah.
I think this podcast has a lot of, you know, as you identified, you know, reluctant copywriters, people who do love the craft. They love the putting the words together. And I think that it would not be unusual for some people listening to this to say, oh, good, I can be conversational as a marketer, so I'm not going to do all of that direct response stuff. I'm not going to have, you know, urgency, or I'm not going to have a call to action. I'm just going to have conversations with people. And I'm going to guess that that's not what you're trying to tell people.
It's like, it's a spectrum, right? And on the, you know, we have the dark side. Darth Vader is writing the absolute hard charging, beating you over the skull, direct response stuff. You know, reply now or I'll kill your puppy kind of approach. And at the other end, we just have this very gentle kind of conversation between mother and daughter, and nobody's trying to sell anything. And we have to find a place in between that works. So, yes, you know, I don't want to be Darth Vader. I want to bring everyone over into the light. But, yeah, we still need to sell. We still need to sell our stuff. And I've heard you talk about this before, is that finding a place where you are comfortable selling something because you believe it adds value. And yeah, there are, like, I come from a direct response background. I spent the first 20 years of my career writing direct mail. So I know that stuff. I get that stuff. Absolutely. I built my career on direct response copywriting. And so for sure, hey, it's the same. If you and I were at some conference and we wanted to go off with some other people to a restaurant, and I had a great idea for a restaurant, you had a different idea, we would try and sell each other and the group on, hey, no, my restaurant's better than yours, all right? Yeah, so we can be persuasive, and I'm going to be persuasive, and I'm going to say, look, you better hurry up because this place is going to be really crowded unless we decide now. So I can throw some urgency in there. Mm-hmm. But it's still like a normal conversation between, you know, it's a persuasive conversation with some urgency built in because we're all hungry. So I think it's okay. I think you can absolutely be conversational and still be persuasive. And you can deliberately choose not to use sneaky tricks because, right, you know, copywriting it's a powerful craft. It's a powerful thing. And if you have a mind to, you can fool a lot of the people a lot of the time as a copywriter. If you want to live on the dark side, you can use it as a weapon. You really can. And really, it's a choice not to do that. Some people say, hey, I'm cool with that. I'm all about the money. Others will say, you know what, I'm a reluctant salesperson. I still want to grow my business, but I actually want to build something long term. I want to build a relationship with my customers. I don't want to kind of burn trust. I want to build trust. I don't want to burn reputation. I want to build reputation. And then I think that brings you over to the conversational approach where, yeah, there's still persuasive elements there, but you are doing it as if I were persuading you which restaurant to go to at a conference.
Yeah, I liked a post you published recently about asking the question, do you like your customers? Full disclosure, I know a couple of Darth Vaders. And, you know, some of them are lovely people, but I've had to sort of ethically say, we need to quit hanging out because you make me really uncomfortable. But one of the things that I see again and again in people who may be, and I'm going to ask you like maybe a hard question in a minute, so get ready. But
okay.
One of the patterns I see over and over is that those folks do not like their customers. And it's because their customers are angry with them. You know, their customers they dread meeting these people because the person's going to be like, you know, you burned me, man. You like told me this and it wasn't true. And it took me 8 months to get a refund. You're a scumbag. And yeah, it's, you can create a really toxic situation with the people in your business by being a toxic person, and not in a like law of attraction way, but just because, you know, karma is sometimes just a question of consequences of bad behavior. Here's my hard question. Is there something you could point to that you could do, but you wouldn't do, that you say, yeah, some people do that and maybe like it's okay with the Federal Trade Commission or whatever, but I choose not to do that in terms of copywriting technique? Is there something you just say, yeah, I won't do that even though, quote unquote, it works?
Okay, sure. There's one thing, I guess there's one thing in particular, that I guess the thing that upsets me the most is that easy pickings for direct response copywriters and direct response marketers is an audience of desperate people. Mm-hmm. Desperate for money, desperate for love, desperate for health, desperate to lose weight. So these are all very human desires. You know, we want to feel secure financially. We want to be in a good relationship. We want to feel good about our body and our state of fitness and our health. And very often, you know, there's a large number of people who are desperate to remedy those situations. And then as a copywriter, if you live on the dark side, you can absolutely take cruel advantage of that desperation.
Yeah.
And make outrageous promises. So there are entire companies, entire industries built around the susceptibility, the vulnerability of desperate audiences. And I will not go there because it is just, to me, is reprehensible. It is. And I sell courses. I've spent my whole career as a copywriter. I'm now more of a teacher than a copywriter. And I invite people to actually connect with me by email if they have any questions about any of my courses or programs before they buy. And sometimes they do. And they'll say, look, here's my personal circumstances, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think I should do? And very often those circumstances are, hey, if I buy your course, it's going to be with the last, $200 or $300 on my credit card.
Yes.
And I write back and I said, don't do it. This is not the best use of the last $200 on your credit card. I can't promise you instant, riches. I can't promise you instant success. And so I'm in this for the long term. I've been a copywriter professionally for 39 years now. And I want to do it at least for another 10 years, which means that I want to feel comfortable meeting any and every customer or anyone I've ever taught or interacted with. And I want to be able to feel comfortable and have them feel comfortable meeting me, actually for us both to be pleased to meet one another, mm-hmm. which happens a lot. And, yeah. And it's great. And it's wonderful. It's probably the best reward ever is to actually meet up with someone who you've contributed, you've helped them out in some way. So I think that that's probably the number one thing where it really pisses me off to see people deliberately take advantage of a desperate audience.
Yeah. And I've incidentally done the same, because you get those email messages. Well, I can make this course if I don't pay my rent. So what do you think? I do the same. I said, please do not do that. Here's a bunch of free stuff and go take advantage of that. See what you can put together and come back another time. Cause it's not okay with me for us to put you into a bad situation. And it's very hard to be effective, but the sickest part of that desperate audience is so often they blame themselves when it doesn't work.
And what happens is that unscrupulous marketers encourage that.
Yeah.
And, you'll get the copy line saying, hey, if you don't feel this is you for you, you're probably not the kind of person who should be joining us.
Right.
That kind of put down thing.
Yeah.
And it's like I get this huge kind of FU response in my mind to that kind of copywriting. Like I say, you can weaponize copywriting and a lot of people do. But that's the opposite of the conversational copywriting approach.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So if
Man, you're getting me all wound up here.
I am.
What are you doing?
Getting pretty passionate
doing?
There. I'm manipulating you.
What are you are evil thing.
I'm an evil marketer. I'm manipulating your emotions. So,
perfect.
So my friend Darth is over my shoulder here looking at your avatar with skepticism and saying, okay, smarty pants, we're going to do an A-B split test. We're going to test an online sales page and I'm going to have my Darth Vader version and you're going to have your, fluffy bunny conversational version. It's not really fluffy bunny. I'm exaggerating. So are you willing to, are you going to say that your version would win?
The fluffy bunny. Wow, that's a rough question, man. You're giving me a hard time here. This is perfect. Okay, so the fluffy bunny. First of all, it wouldn't be a fluffy bunny version. As you say, you exaggerate. It would be a carefully crafted piece of copywriting, but conversational copywriting. If I were to do both versions, like I said, I did 20 years at direct mail. So if we were just talking about a sales page, I bet my traditional direct response copywriting page would win.
Hmm.
But that's not the promise that I'm making with conversational copywriting. The promise I'm making is that 3 years later, or 3 months, or 3 years later, that customer will buy from me again.
Right.
Because what I'm doing is I'm building a relationship, I'm building mutual respect, I'm coming from a place of respect and friendship. I'm not using any hype. So yes, I can weaponize my copywriting and I can get more people to buy from version A, the traditional approach. But those people, there'll be that kind of buyer's remorse, or there'll be that you probably, hey, I see this all the time. I see somebody really interesting appear in our marketing space, and I follow their, you know, I subscribe to their newsletter. And at some point, like, they hook up with some Uber marketer, mm-hmm. and the whole tone of their stuff changes. Instead of getting that kind of weekly interesting newsletter, now I start getting 5 emails a week, and now they've got these sneaky subject lines, and it's just, yeah. and I feel so disappointed. I think, oh, come on, you were such an interesting person. And now, you know, I think you got someone helping you out. You got Darth Vader's looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
And pointing you in this way, you know, how to 10 times your income. And what happens is that pretty soon I unsubscribe. All right. So, yes, I can win by being more aggressive, but I can win in the short term. I think as the conversational copywriter, I win in the longer term. Because I'm building trust and not burning trust. I'm building reputation and not burning reputation.
Yeah, another thing I think people sometimes forget is, let's say I buy something. This has happened to me. I've bought something with a very aggressive sales approach because for whatever reason, I think I hate the marketing on this, but I actually like the product. And there's a fair amount of marketing advice that falls into this category. And I can't refer it to anybody else. I can't say, you know, this thing is cool, because I have to spend 20 minutes saying, I know the sales page is disgusting. Just try to ignore it, because actually it's like, this is a really good framework and it's useful, and you can just, it's easy to peel off all the gross stuff and get to, it's like, forget it, you know? We don't want to refer our friends and our family to be mauled by some weirdo manipulative predator, you know? Even if we're willing to kind of, you know, even if we feel like, well, I have the, you know, what it takes to kind of survive this person and make an informed decision, I don't want to expose my friends to that. And
right.
That repeat business, the referral business, I think the web has changed. I mean, there's a certain number of Darth Vaders out there who, have, I think, discovered that the light side of the force is actually kind of more sustainable.
Yeah, well, there's a lot who, like, they burn bright for a couple of years, and then mm-hmm. after a while, think, hey, what happened to X? You know, where did he go? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, they do. They burn out.
Yeah.
Often, either because they've lost their audience, or because they thought they were being incredibly smart, but actually it turns out they were being incredibly lucky right at the beginning.
Sure. Sure.
And they try to sustain it or replicate it, and it doesn't happen for them.
The problem, and Nick and I talked about this before we started recording, is it's like going to be really gross, because it's like, I think this, and then the other one will be, I think that too. So we're trying not to be too much of a mutual admiration society.
Well, but hey, let me interrupt and say on that, on mutual admiration. I mean, everything we're talking about, it just describes copy blogger, right?
Yeah.
Is you have very strong marketing approach. You're not shy about marketing. You use urgency. You use scarcity. You know, a launch is coming up. Something's happening. You do all that stuff, but you do it without the gross part. You do it in a conversational tone, in a respectful way. And you do it so that if you bumped into your prospects and customers in the street and had a conversation, you'd feel comfortable to look them in the eye and say, yeah, I wrote that.
Yeah.
Or yes, that's what I would, that's the pitch I made. So I'm actually a huge fan of, well, I guess everyone who's listening is a fan of copy blogger, but just from a purely professional copywriting point of view, is to the way in which you've kind of navigated that line between what works in the world of direct response and then what becomes gross in the world of direct response. And finding that spot is it can be tough. It can be tough for a business to find the sweet spot where they have enough leverage using direct response approaches, but they still feel comfortable that they're being, you know, they're on the light side and they're being decent about it. And I think you guys have not only done this, but I think what makes you almost unique is that you sustained it over the long term. and that you haven't. Like I say, I get so disappointed and upset when people start off on the light side and right. then migrate to the dark side because somebody whispers in their ear and says, hey, you can 10 times your income. But you guys, I think, have done a great job of sustaining that, of staying in that respectful place.
Well, yeah, you used that word twice, and that is my lodestone, which is respect. You know, is this respectful? Is this piece of communication respecting the intelligence of the reader or the listener? Is this honoring, you know, their situation? I cannot abide by any kind of message that puts people down in order to try and shift their behavior. I think that's reprehensible.
And unless they're Darth Vader, in which case yeah. it's fair.
Unless, consider your life choices, Darth. Yeah. Repent. It's true. You're right. It's true. There are people I would put down to persuade now that you mention it. But yeah, I mean, respect, I think, is key for me. And it doesn't mean we don't get people who, that's something I think if you are going to take this approach, you need to be realistic about. There will still be people who, you know, hate you because you're trying to sell them something. So, it's fine. I get a question all the time about the way we do things, about the approach that we teach, which is, I'm in B2B. So would this work for that? And I find it a peculiar question, but I know that you've run across this one as well.
Yeah, I get this question not just with conversational copywriting. I get it across the board with copywriting is people who are saying, does this work for B2B? Because I guess it's strange. I think a lot of us speak with a lot of B2C background. I'm not quite sure. Not everyone in our space, but a lot of our people in this marketing space, we seem to have our kind of foundations in B2C. So I've done, I guess, mostly B2C in my career, but I've done maybe 30-40% B2B. And I've never found the difference to be as great as some people suspect or suggest. I think at B2B, these are just people who, these are B2C consumers. These are people who are consumers who happen to be at work at the time.
Yeah.
And I think I think still there's a large emotional component to purchases, you know, a lot of B2B purchases, perhaps not all, but I think, an example I always think of because I actually came across this was a designer who wanted a bigger monitor because these new monitors were coming out and she thought, oh my God, I need this monitor for my desk at work. And so, she just wanted it because it was bigger and cooler. And then she thought, okay, but my boss is never going to, my manager is never going to say yes just because I love it and I think it's cool. Right. So she had to come up with this rationale. So she came up with this wonderful rationale about how she could get her team gathered around and everyone could kind of work together. So I think that's a lot of what happens in B2B. The other thing that I think with conversational copywriting in particular is that, yes, I think there's less of Darth Vader in the B2B space, but there is a huge amount more just ridiculous gobbledygook.
Yeah.
Corporate nonsense writing. I mean, writing that is so extraordinary that it's almost impossible to comprehend what people are saying. So conversational copywriting is also a cure for corporate gobbledygook. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, if you were actually explaining this to your mother, how would you put it? So the conversational side it's not just about the sales side, it's just about the communication side. How would you express something so it's clear and simple? And people say, oh, well, yeah, but you can't do that in B2B. You can't explain it like you would to your mother. So I say, well, okay, meet me halfway. Imagine you are new to a company, you go into this meeting and they're all talking in this weird kind of code that the company has developed in their conversations, and you really can't follow everything. And somebody takes pity on you. So at the in the coffee break, they come over and say, hey, you look confused. Here's what we were saying. And then, that guy, it's not like he's talking to his mom, but like around the water cooler or coffee maker, all of a sudden some of the jargon is stripped away and a much simpler explanation is presented. So, and that's often, that takes place within the context of a conversation. At the coffee maker or water cooler, or maybe at a bar or a coffee shop or whatever. I think as soon as things move from formal copywriting or formal business talk into a conversational context, then communication becomes much clearer. because we tend to drop the nonsense, whether it's sales nonsense or whether it's gobbledygook nonsense.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. It's funny because your discussion about the monitor, it's that old copywriting adage, right? We buy on emotion and then we justify it with with logic. And and that's how the human brain works. That's how it works.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it, and I'm not saying it's always the case in B2B. You know, if I'm buying a particular switch for an aircraft or something, you know, it's probably a pretty rational choice. But I think a lot of the time people over, you know, people exaggerate the difference between B2C and B2B.
Yeah, I agree. Well, this has been really delightful. I'm going to leave people with all of these wonderful things to think about. Your site is conversationalcopywriting.com. You have you have a manifesto, and you know, I like a nice manifesto. I always, I enjoy manifestos. So I'm going to kind of take us out on a point from your manifesto that I thought was particularly relevant, which is we don't take an adversarial position with our readers because ultimately we're on their side. And I just thought, I thought that was lovely. And for me, that really kind of encapsulated, you know, what was going on with what you do.
Okay, well, thank you. Hey, I got to give, on the manifesto, I got to give credit to, if you scroll down the bottom of the page, I kind of did a first draft of the manifesto. And then I kind of threw it out to the conversational copywriting community. And so a number of those points are actually contributed by them. And it's not just me.
That is so awesome. I love it. I love it. All right. Well, Nick, thank you so much. Again, conversationalcopywriting.com. Great conversation. Hope people found some interesting points to take away. And just thank you so much for swinging by.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you found a way to get me all riled up.
And thank you guys for your time, for your attention. If you point your browser to copyblogger.fm, we'll get you some links and other good stuff. Take care, everybody.